I want to start by talking about something that's not on the parsha, just something I've been thinking about, just because I think it's interesting fodder, and then we'll do some parsha. Just throwing it out there, something we've been talking about. So there's a very tragic story about this chassid in New York. And so I wrote a piece yesterday about this idea of the two personalities that we have. Everybody has two personalities. There's a personality, you know, that you have in the community, you're like your firm personality, and then there's a you know, your personality that you have, which is the personality that we're not so proud of, that we don't always do the things that we're supposed to do.
At home, like the at-home one and the outside one.
Right, right. What I wrote about, interestingly, is that it's that we say in the davening, right before in Korbanot, we say that there's a phrase that says, Le'olam yehe adam yirei shamayim b'seter u'begalui. There's actually fascinating different versions of the prayer. Is it b'seter? They used to have, in the Middle Ages, some versions were Le'olam yehe adam yirei shamayim b'seter. And Rashi didn't like saying that because he felt he shouldn't just be Yirei Shamayim B'Seter in private. Okay, but B'Seter U'Begalui, and some have the version of B'Seter Kibagalui. You should fear God in private the way you fear God in public. That you have to be the same person. This is a very strong theme in Judaism that we have to be people of integrity. Integrity means that your whole personality is religious, not just your religious personality. You know, but so this has been bothering me because Irina made me read All My Sons. She suggested I read All My Sons. So I just recently read All My Sons. And the theme of All My Sons that struck me very strongly was this notion that everybody cheats. But the question is, to what degree do we cheat? Meaning, like, everybody allows himself a certain amount of gray area in order to do things that he needs to do, in order to get things done. And it makes me think, like, the thing that bothers me about this whole discussion, the whole topic is, the world in which we live, you have to cheat in order to really accomplish. You don't think that's true?
No, look at the guy that wasn't the guy from.
Everybody, there's. If you
cut
play.
Quarters,
I mean by cut quarters, right? I don't mean cheat. Meaning there's gray areas. I don't mean breaking laws, but. You know, in my experience, the world is such, in my work experience, and you know what I'm saying? If. Like, do we all apply to the Muatza to do every single thing we're exactly supposed to do? Some people do. Not everybody does. And that's the way of the world, and it's accepted. Like, there's a certain amount of give and take. But that's just my experience. You totally disagree? It's interesting.
I think there are many who do that, but I don't think it's the only way. I don't think that it's impossible.
The people who play only by the rules, and do everything exactly to the letter of the law usually find it very difficult to get ahead. They find it difficult to succeed. They find it difficult to build a business. It's just...
Totally agree.
You know what I'm saying? you know what I'm saying? And it's understood that there's a certain amount of leeway that everybody says, okay, that's what everybody does. But there's a point at which you say, well, no, more than that is too much. And that's really, if you want to read All My Sons again, that's very much the theme of the book, that he... One of the themes of the play. That here's this person who, you know, he made a choice, he made a very bad choice. He's like, oh, it's not so bad. When everybody else looked at it and said it was terrible. And I'm struggling with this idea of, like, why has the world been such a way that in order to succeed you have to sort of cut corners?
So is it the letter versus the spirit of the law? Like, sometimes you're doing things to the letter of the law, but it's not necessarily in the spirit. It's not that you're, like, necessarily cheating or whatever. You're within the law, but not the way the intent of the law.
No. Sometimes the law is made in such a way that there's no way not to break the law. Can I ask you a question, Shira? Do you always drive the speed limit? Always? Right.
But I don't.
Why? Because nobody else is driving the speed limit. And if you drove only the speed limit, you know, you'd be endangering society.
I'm asked here by a workman, do you want to pay mom or do you not want to pay mom? Do you want to pay me in cash or do you want to give me a check, right? Do you need a receipt? It happens all the time.
It does happen all the time.
You know, and we're always supposed to make the exact right decision all the time. And of course we're supposed to. I'm lauded. You know what I'm saying? But that's... It's challenging. I'm just saying it's a challenge. I'm struggling with this. How should we say the spectrum? Where in this? How come it's okay? Like, how come the world isn't built in such a way that we're supposed to? Aren't we supposed to idealize the people who follow the rules, who do everything that they're supposed to do? Why is it that it seems to me? This is what I'm bothered with mostly. It seems to me necessary to have to cut corners in order to succeed. Why can't the people who don't cut corners succeed?
Although when corners are cut by people in positions of responsibility,
yeah,
then we look upon it.
I'll give you an example. This is a great example. So when the recent Mo'atzah elections, so there was this, you know, are you in favor, like in favor of, there's a guy named Yitzhak Beloy, right? So those people who, so people who know him, so every time the Mo'atzah does something that's not appropriate, he calls them out on it. So somebody said, you can't vote for Beloy because the way this Mo'atzah was built, Yad Bimin was built on cutting corners. If you think about it, you'll realize to what degree that's correct. You know, you have, because that's how you build things in Israel. You get money from here, you get money from there. You know what I'm saying? And if you call somebody out every time they do something that's a little bit of a corner cutting, you never would be able to do anything. And I thought about it. I realized there's a truth to that, and it bothers me. And I don't know how to.
But you were saying that's part of the law is there, but it's also there, and people know it's going to be broken. But I think there's a difference when you break a law and nobody gets hurt by it.
See,
when you break a law,
how dangerous is that? That is so dangerous. You know what I'm saying?
It is. Like when you,
but you know, and you, someone always gets hurt by it, right? Because we cut corners and we got the money. That means someone in some periphery,
that's
community,
right,
some poor kid who really is below the socioeconomic level didn't get.
No, so I'll give you an example. Everybody breaks a law here and has an illegal apartment. The entire community, the whole world has an illegal apartment. So who gets hurt? All of us get hurt because there's not enough water in the community,
parking.
There's not enough parking in the community, but everybody does
but
it.
But if I'm speeding, the only one involved is me.
Except the person that you put in danger.
I'm on an empty road.
This time you are.
There's no cars around
now.
Me.
My tax money has to come and pay us for your hospital visit.
Right. Oh, anyway.
Okay.
It's a fascinating discussion. It's just bothering me, and I thought I would share it with you. Because how do I relate to it? Because Menachem Stark didn't start that way. He didn't start that way. Oh, she heard me. Because he didn't start that way. Because everybody starts just by a little bit. I can't imagine that he started doing the things that he did.
Plastering over sprinklers
or whatever. I can't imagine that he did. But you cut one corner and then you cut the corner a little bit and he slices the cake a little more. And before you know it, you're able to be Murray Heter and to say, this is not me. That's a different discussion. Correct. I agree, but it's a different discussion. Maybe you're right. All right. I'm sorry. I don't know. It's just something that bothered me, and I talk amongst yourselves afterwards. Anyway, what?
Group therapy.
You have a point. Like, John is particularly straight.
Yes.
And
correct.
I'm particularly more worldly and experienced in cutting corners.
Right.
Because my work has.
Notice how those are synonyms. Worldly, experienced in cutting corners. No, but it proves your point.
Yes.
Because to get by and to achieve. Right. Anyway, so John is not. I have corrupted him because and he fights me on it still, but there.
I think I have. So I think, by the way,
okay, for example,
I think
he gets private tuition and gets paid not a lot of money for private tuition, but then he wants to pay tax because that's the correct thing to do.
To report it.
If he's in a 40% tax bracket, then he's earning like.
I think that you.
No one wants to pay the raised prices because you don't pay that for private tuition. Then why pay him that price when I can go to the next person and pay a regular price?
Yeah, she's absolutely right. The market is such that taxes are not built in. Then he says, but I have to pay taxes, but it's not paid enough.
So then pay the tax because no one will employ him at that level. We have this question. when you're in a park or driving down a road and you want to park on the other side because there's a space, that means cutting across. That's illegal to do that. You're not allowed to.
So he won't do that?
He will not do that. Do you know how frustrating that is? When you're late,
I think you've articulated, but this is a struggle that we all have to have with ourselves. The Johnny in us, and then, the, you know what I'm saying?
I don't struggle so much.
Okay, I wanted to talk about staffs and hands. And again, we're going to see a theme as it appears in the Chumash. And we're going to see how it plays out. We're going to see a crazy midrash, okay? And what? Shock of shocks. I always
from
like to share
you.
With you crazy midrashim. Yeah, but it's a pshat midrash. It is. What's wrong with you? Okay. We're at the end.
What's wrong with me?
What is it called?
Yeah.
No. Midrash. Okay.
An impossible reality.
We're going to start in Perek Yud Dalid Pasuk Tet Vav. We're at the height of the metach. What?
You can't call it a pshat midrash. You have all the things.
Whatever.
Haven't you learned anything?
I don't think so. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. God said, so the Egyptians are coming, Paro is coming, the 600 chariots are coming, the Jews are pinned up against the sea, they don't know what to do, they're crying out, everything's bad. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Mati tzak elai. What are you crushing to me for? Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisa'u. Speak to the children of Israel and they should travel. There's only one problem right now, of course.
The only way is into the water.
The only way is into the water. Okay, we'll take care of that problem. V'ata. Harem et matcha unete et yadcha al hayam ubika'ehu. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand all over the sea ubika'ehu and split it. And the Jewish people will enter, will go in, into the yam, into the sea, into the dry land. Something about this pasuk bothers me. There seems to be a double, there's something that bothers me, and I'll tell you exactly what it is. Thank you. Okay? Why does it say, I don't want to tell them what it is. What bothers you about this pasuk?
There you go.
Thank you. What bothers you about this pasuk? Okay. It's about thinking. It's about trying to see.
Isn't atah singular and harem plural?
No, harem is no. Lift up. Harim. Harama, like truma, that's the root.
And since you started with staff in hand, I'm going to guess it has something to do with the fact that he had to lift up the staff and then stretch over his hand.
Good. So that my question is, what is the double stretch symbology?
His arm,
right.
Actually,
lift up your staff and stretch out your hand. So let's just do the choreography, right? Which hand?
Right.
Why? Why do you say the right hand?
Always the stronger hand.
Right. The right hand is always the right hand. It's the right hand. Okay? So lift up your staff and stretch out your hand. Okay?
I thought of a different way.
You don't like that, right?
You lift it up and then you stretch out.
What?
I would lift it up and then stretch it out.
No, the teyet yadcha, the emphasis is on the yad. Haremet matcha is emphasis on the mate. So my question
it
is...
Says, first it says lift up the rod. I would lift the rod and then stretch my hand.
No, now you're just lifting the rod.
That's what I thought also.
Now you're just lifting the rod.
No, I'm stretching my hand.
No, you're stretching your arm.
Yeah. If you stretch your hand, same word.
No, it's not. It's a zroah.
Oh, hand
arm,
is
remember?
Like this.
No,
because when I talk to people all the time,
no, but
it's
in, but in the Torah, zroah is an arm.
Where do you see zroah?
Isn't it? Zroah netiyah.
Can you find
it? It's everywhere.
Are you being...
Serious?
It's like everywhere.
Right, you think it's not?
Find it for me. I couldn't remember. Yeah, see if you can find it for me. I really didn't remember. I was looking for it. Okay.
That's the therapist in.
What is the difference between yad and mate? Okay, until now, we have witnessed the mate a lot. Where have we seen the mate?
Miracles.
Right?
With the snakes.
With the mate, we saw the snakes. We saw a ton of mate related phenomenon. Okay? Until now, it was usually the mateh of Aaron. I won't go through the whole thing. Where have we seen Yad? Yadcha? Have we seen the hand of Moshe until now?
Yeah.
We have? Have we seen the hand of Moshe? How many people? You need your Tanakh, right? You can't do this alone, right? It's crazy.
It's usually talking about Hashem. When
what? Have we
Hashem, usually.
No. Where have we seen, right?
All over.
Okay. I want to point this out. What's that? Let's read on. What?
Bechozek.
Where is that?
Yod Gimel Tetvav.
Yod Gimel Tetvav.
Yad Chazaka with Israel and Tiyah.
One second. Yod Gimel. Strength of hand. What else is it?
And then in Pasuk Yud Gimel Tet.
Yud Gimel before that?
Yud Gimel Tet, Yud Gimel Tet Vav.
Le'od Ayadcha, ki biyad chazaka. Again, Yad. Very good. Okay. Where was
okay, you still
in Zeroah. Bechozek Yad,
he took us out from Mitzrayim, biyad chazaka.
Moshe always uses the mateh. Until now. Why did he have to lift up the staff?
Shmot Vav. Vav.
What does it say? Just read the
reading.
Okay, fine. Thank you. You're right. I knew it was there. I didn't think it wasn't there. Okay.
Spiritual?
What? I don't know. That's what I mean.
The Michael.
I wish I knew all the answers, but I don't know. We'll see in a second. So what is the difference between... Why should you lift up your staff if you have to stick out your hand? And I'm going to strengthen. Let's read on a little bit in the Psukim. Yud Zayin. We're in Yud Dali Yud Zayin. Ve'ani, hinei nei mechazeket lev Mitzrayim, ve'yavo achrayem. I will strengthen Paros. Arne, will come to be kabda b'paro b'chol chelo b'pirchbo parashav. Ve'yadu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. Mitzrayim will know that I am Hashem. B'hi kabdi b'paro b'chbo parashav. And when I harden Paro b'richbo in his rechev, in his in his chariots, and his preshav in his hosts. I don't know, whatever, his armies.
With his chariot riders.
Right. Vayisa malach Hashem Elokim ha'olich lifnei machane Yisrael, vayelech me'achareihem. So remember, there was this cloud / pillar of fire that was leading them. And the cloud pillar of fire now changed positions and went from in front of them, which is right now over the river, right over the sea, and moved to behind them. And the Amud Hanan, the cloud, went behind them.
He will go behind them. This is all Hashem telling him.
You think so?
I know so.
Vayisa malach Hashem. Vayisa.
He's telling them what
will happen. No, not Vayisa. Vayisa, and it happened.
Look at Chaf Aleph is when it starts happening. He's still telling him what will happen. It's still Yodayin.
No. Right now, this is the prep. I don't think you're right. I think the cloud moved now. Where does the cloud move again?
No.
Where does the cloud move again? Chaf Aleph, the cloud doesn't move. This is the prep. The cloud moved. Okay?
It doesn't make sense.
Why?
Because he said to lift up the hand and head at the beginning of the process, okay? Mm-hmm.
Wait, one second. Yeah, he said, okay. Let's read on. Vayavo bei machane misei melchei Yisrael, vayi anan ve'achoshech. It was a cloud and darkness. Vayayir et halayla. And it lit up the light, the night. V'lo karav zeh el zeh kol halayla. I'm pretty sure I'm reading it correctly. That the cloud went and divided between the Egyptians, preventing the Egyptians from coming any closer. Okay, the cloud is this cloud of protection. Pasuk Aleph. This is the part I wanted to focus on. Vayet Moshe et yado al hayam. Vayolech Hashem et hayam. Beruach kadim azak kol halayla. Moshe stretched out his hand on the sea. And God, Yolech, moved the sea with a eastwardly wind, strong wind the entire night. Vayasem et hayam lacharava. Vayibaku hamayim, and he made the water, the sea, into charava, dry land, and the water split. So Moshe sticks out his hand, and now this wind begins to blow. You don't think it's not like the Ten Commandments, like you've always seen. It's not like that.
Where's the
matzah? Rather, very good. Rather, Moshe sticks out his hand, and this crazy wind starts to blow, right? And blows and blows and blows, and as it blows, it's blowing the water away. It's blowing and blowing and blowing and blowing. Now, I'm not going to say, of course, it says miraculous. It doesn't matter if it happened in one fell swoop or it happened over time. But as the night went along, it's blowing and blowing and creating this wall of water, as it were. Okay? Very messy. Fundamental question, which is?
Where's the stick?
Where's the stick? What happened to the stick? Didn't God say, stretch out the stick, neteyat yadcha, haremet matcha, lift up your stick? That's what it said. And then it said, Unate et yadcha, and lift it and stick out your hand. Haremet matcha, unate et yadcha. And now, here we are, three psukim later, Vayet Moshe et yado alayam. Moshe sticks out his hand.
Well,
is it in relation to... Like this? What does it say? Like, if I say, stick out your hand. I don't know. The fist? Is it like, you know, is it Joe Louis Detroit? Is it Hitler? Vayet, no, is it this? It's a very fascinating question. What does it mean?
This is much better Hollywood gesture.
What? A much better Hollywood gesture, yeah. Maybe, okay, could be this. I don't know. That's
a, is it stretch out your hand? Is it stretch out your arm? If it's stretch out your hand, that's stretching out your hand.
Yad is usually hand. Well, I'll tell you why yad is hand.
I'm asking.
What do we say? Yad is both. I think you're right, but yad can be both. What does it mean, stretch out your hands? So Moshe did this?
That's stretching out your hands. If you go back earlier.
No, it doesn't seem right.
No, but you put the tefillin al yadcha.
Al yadcha. Very good. So, stretch out your hands. So, is it like Joe Louis? You know what I'm saying?
Who's Joe Louis? You keep saying that.
Wasn't
Joe Louis was a black athlete for the Black Power.
That's right. In the 1930s Olympics. In the Olympics. Don't you remember? That he won the Olympic gold medal?
Do I remember the 1930 Olympics? Not really.
Never saw that. Joe Louis and Rena.
Jesse Owens.
Jesse Owens. I'm sorry. But isn't there a fist?
That's a Black Panther.
Isn't there a fist in Detroit, like a hand stretched out like that?
I don't know. Well, the symbol of the red wings.
Joe Louis Arena is in there. Okay, anyway, Jesse Owens. Is it Jesse Owens? Black Power?
Black Power was not the 70s.
Whatever. You understand what I'm saying. Is it this? Or is it this? Or is it this?
But why can't it be the hand that's holding the machete?
because he already made emphasis, he already emphasized the matah. When Hashem said he emphasized the matah, so why not, when he's saying that Moshe did it, why not emphasize the matah? The matah was significant the first time.
They were just supposed to assume that his hand that's outstretched is holding the staff. Like we assumed this for the last time.
Oh, that's what you're saying? No. That's not true, because now I need to find the Wizard Concordance. When Moshe used the staff, he deteyat matcha, he used the staff. Before, he used the staff. You think that if he was holding the staff and it was the staff, you think it would have said, Vayet Moshe et Yado?
There's a difference between
two functions.
Kaf matcha, okay, done. Kaf matcha unete yadcha. And then,
Vayasu
ked Moshe Baron Kashet Sivashem, Vayarem Bamateh, Vayachet Hamayim.
Right. Usually when he says, use the stick. That's for the blood.
But then it was, for Tzvadeh, it was Netei Yadcha B'matecha, and it was Vayet Aharon Et Yado Alma Mei Mitzrayim. I'm going to go with them. Netei Et Matcha, Abayasu Ken, Vayet Aharon Et Yado B'matehu. But this one, Tzvadehu did not say B'matehu. It says Vayet.
Really? Okay, fine. You could have just told my whole shiur. I'm willing to accept that. Okay, that's fine. Let's say, now I'm going to read you the midrash that's not pshat according to Rina. Okay? Hare mit matcha. What?
Nothing.
Amar Rabbi Simon. Said Rabbi Simon. What is the word hare mit matcha? We translate the word laharim. What is laharim? To lift up. Mashal baal zmora. Okay? Somebody who's a baal zmora. Somebody holding a... No, not zimira. Zmora is a branch.
Yeah.
Okay? It's holding a stick. Okay, he's holding a stick. Vayam halech b'chutz, v'azmer Rabbi Yehuda was walking around, you know, taking a tiyul with the stick that he picked up. Amru ilulei hazmer Rabbi Yado lo haya mitkabed. If I didn't hold this staff in my hand, nobody would honor me. Nobody would respect me. Okay, they only fear me because of the staff in my hand. Shama hamelech v'amar lo. So the king heard him and said, Haver hazmera v'tzei lachutz. Throw away that stick and go out yourself. And anyone who doesn't respect you, I'll kill him. Meaning, you think that they respect you only for the stick? It's not about the stick. It's about you.
It's kind of the metaphor.
Kach amru ha-mitzrim. Said the mitzrim. Lo haya mochi yachol Moshe lasot klum ela b'mate bo ha'ikar ye'or. Without that staff, Moshe Rabbeinu is nothing. Right? It's all the stick. It's the magic wand. If he didn't have the magic wand, if he could only get that magic wand out of his hand.
Change the word, a crutch.
Okay. Kevan shebayu Yisrael letoch hayam, v'hamitzrim omdim acharim. So now they're at the Yam Suf, and they're all, the mitzrim, the Egyptians are on the way. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe, hashlech et matcha. Hashlech?
Throw
away your stick. Shelo yomru ilulei hamateh, lo haya yachol likor et hayam. Shene'emar harem et matcha. The midrash is saying the word. This is the pshat. The midrash is giving you pshat.
Not the pshat.
The midrash is saying the word harem doesn't mean lift up. The word harem means throw away.
And you're going to tell me that's pshat.
They're trying to redefine the pshat. They're reinterpreting what the word harem means. Yeah, of course. They're trying to, in order to deal with the difficulty in the psukim. The psukim, and the question the midrash is asking is, what happened to the stick?
I think
and the midrash, and the answer the midrash is saying is, what happened to the stick? What Hashem tell him to do?
Throw it away.
Okay, it's not an argument. Shot or not shot.
Why wasn't it the same thing with the other miracle?
What?
Why wouldn't it be the same with the other miracle?
That's a very interesting question. Why wouldn't it be the same with the other miracles? Why in the world would God tell Moshe to lift up the stick and then Moshe doesn't use the stick? Okay?
Shiva.
I'll read you the opposite midrash. Okay? Matcha. What was special about the mateh? So this is like, you know, legend. Hamateh shebo kara Moshe tayam. Lo haya dugmato ba'olam. There is no, right, thank you. There is no stick like this stick. Haya chakuk alav shem ha-mefarash. It had the holy, ineffable name of God hewn into it somewhere, I guess on the handle maybe. Okay? Adam harishon masaro li'eshet. So somehow, so where did this staff come from? The matesh al Moshe? Adam harishon. Meaning, no, not Adam harishon. Where did he get it from? God gave it to Adam Rishon. Adam gave it to Shet. Chol hadarot misaruhu ze lezeh. Right? Or every generation passed it down one to the other. Actually, Yaakov Avinu le Mitzrayim. So Yaakov Avinu had it. and he gave it to Yosef. Kushamet Yosef, chipsu avdei paro kol shama bebeito. So when Yosef died, the Egyptians, they ransacked the house. They took all the good stuff, and of course they took this. So then how did Moshe get it? Anybody want to guess?
Moshe grew up in Pharaoh's house.
No. Where did Moshe get it? She bebeit nazav shel paro. Paro put it in his storehouse somewhere in the vault, in the bottom of the Vatican somewhere. Who stole it? Yitro stole it. Remember, Yitro in the Midrash was an advisor of Paro before he got banished. So before he got kicked out and went to be Kohen Midian, he said, oh, hold on, I left something in the basement. Went down, grabbed the staff, made off to Midian. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu came and he saw, you're the Savior, he says, I got something for you. Here's the stick.
Well,
that's the other Midrash. Right, the other Midrash that Moshe Rabbeinu was in Midian, he's running around after the sheep, and he sees the staff in the rock, you know? There is an Excalibur version.
The different version of Midrash is that the staff was before Yaakov, or somebody who was in Midian put the staff in the ground, and nobody was able to
take it out. Right? It's Excalibur Midrash. It's backyard. It is in his backyard. We're really
And he said, anybody who can pull it out can marry Zipporah.
Right. Yeah, there is a midrash like that. There, absolutely. Look in the Yalkut Shimon. Look in the Yalkut Shimon or Mamloys also. I'm sure it's in the Mamloys. Well, where did Harry Potter come from? The reason Harry Potter resonates so strongly with us is because it's so much in our in everyone's collective legend, right? There's this legend of this staff, this piece of ancient whatever weaponry or whatever that has this great power to, in order to affect change.
Only one problem with it.
What?
It's the power of tradition, our connection to the past.
Yeah. Well, there's one, good writers, any good writer, you know, ties into something deep inside of us, brings something out. Right? So if it's something external to you, you can't associate it.
The other option is that there's only one narrative and everything else is just like
a retelling of the same narrative. Yeah. Right. Could be. Well, you're the literature person.
Yeah,
is that, what do you teach? Normal. Which one is it? Which one is it? There's only one good story? What? Okay, that's one midrash. There's another midrash. What I want to suggest is, like, it's a theme I want to suggest is that there's a subtle transition going on here. The transition between from the mateh symbolized power, symbolized strength, symbolized, we'll see, punishment in a way.
It's also physical.
And we're moving from the mateh to the yad, to the hand of Moshe. And the hand of Moshe doesn't represent just the hand of Moshe. But as we're going to see, the hand of Moshe represents, I'm going to say, the hand of God.
I think it's also the water. So the water has a special relationship with Moshe, has a special relationship with the water as well.
Why do you say the water specifically? The water is just a symbol here. The water is the... Is the
water is where Satan is a baby. Water symbolizes Torah. Water is a special symbolism.
There's definitely a symbolism in water, but I don't know if you would say, meaning here we're talking about the Jewish people, they've been brought out, like, I think this midrash is sort of indicating, the first midrash that it says, throw away the staff, it tells me this idea, it's keying into this idea that the staff can become too powerful, it becomes too much of a symbol.
It was his crutch.
What?
I think it was his crutch in the beginning, like, he was like, oh, I can't go to Paro, I have this list, I can't, you know. And the stick was almost like this crutch that gave him the power to, like, go and, like, sort of like a physical thing to kind of give him the confidence.
Correct.
At this point, he already realizes that, you know, he's got God behind him. These things are happening. These things are working. He was able to answer to Paro, and he doesn't even need that stick anymore.
Fascinating. So I have to read you the other midrash that I put my little arrow here about. Fascinating.
What about
says the midrash. Hold on. Say the midrash. Amar Moshe Tnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God said, Moshe said to God, you say I should split the sea. Right? It says in Tehillim, Asher Samti Chol, the Gvul, the border of the Yam, is the sand, is the beach. So how am I supposed to vare nishbata she'ena ata kora leolam? You promised, like, you made rules in physics, you made rules in nature. Okay, Amar Rabbi Lezer HaKafar, said Rabbi Lezer HaKafar, Amar lo Moshe, okay, didn't you say, Moshe said to God, you say split the sea? Lo kach amarta, she'en hayam na'aseit yabasha? Didn't you say it can't be done? Okay, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says to Moshe, lo karata mitchilat ha'tara maktiv, vayomer Elohim yikavu hamayim, Right? In Bereshit, when God first created the world, he created the Mayim, the clouds, like it was all one big water. And how did God create the world? He separated the water from above from the water from below. He said, what do you mean? You think you can't split the water? Of course you can split the water. I did it originally. That came before the water. No problem.
I've done this before.
Anu shehitneti imokach. I made a deal with the water. When I created the water, I said, just understand, there's going to come a time where you're going to have to split. Just so you know, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says that one of the nisim that was set aside from Ma'aseh Breishit is this Kriyat Yam Suf, that the water was ready. It was set. Anyway, okay. Miyad Shama Moshe. This, now it gets interesting. Moshe heard God in V'halach Likor Atayam. Okay, no problem, I'll do it. Kevan Shalach Likor Atayam. So he went to split the sea. Loki Beli Kara. The Yam said, Moshe said, please, split.
Said, we're not
water said,
to you.
No way.
You?
Sorry. Amar lo hayam. Said the sea. Mi panecha eni nikre, ani gadol mincha. I'm not going to split for you. I'm better than you. Ani nivreiti bashlishi. I was created on the third day of creation. And you? Six. Three, six. Forget it. No way. Okay? Kevan shishamah. So Moshe heard this, and what does he do? Halach la kadosh baruch hu. It's great. It's like, you know, it goes around you guys and says, I went to the water and I said split and they said no, what am I supposed to do? it's like a great, you know, like whatever. Ma'asa kadosh baruch hu. What did God do? Natan yimino al yimino shel Moshe. God placed his right hand on the right hand of Moshe. Shne'emar molich liyamin Moshe. Miyad ra'a hayam hakadosh baruch hu ubarach. So God, the water, the sea, saw God and ran away. Because it says, hayam ra'a vayanos. Ma ra'a, what did the water see? Shera'a l'hakadosh baruch hu. Shenatad yad yemino al Moshe. The Moshe stretched out his hand. But the hand of Moshe is not the hand of Moshe. The hand of Moshe kaviyachol with the hand of God right on top of it, and the water sees this and says, "Ah, see ya." You know, like
I don't think it was only the water. That Midrash is very interesting. I think that the purpose of that was not only for the water but also for Moshe to understand that Moshe himself is not the one who's making the miracles happen. As great as Moshe was, and he knew that the miracles were coming from Hashem, but I would imagine that such power, such apparent power, could go to somebody's head. And we say at the end that Moshe was Anad, and that was something unique to him, but part of it was that Hashem ensured that Moshe would remember and realize that the miracles were happening beyond Hashem.
There's another...
It's a very powerful...
Beautiful. It's beautiful in so many ways. There's another midrash, a very similar one, that talks about that the imagery of a boy who has to shoot an arrow, and he can't do it. And it places the image of a father holding the keshet. He's saying, I'll hold the keshet, and you pull the arrow. Is there a very beautiful image of this idea of this partnership that the yad is of Moshe is at the one hand the yad of Moshe, but at the same time the yad of Hashem. And let's read on, and we'll see. Now we'll see this explicitly in the Tzukim themselves. Okay, what's that? Yeah.
When Yehoshua holds the sun.
Sefer Yoshua. Givon, yeah. Emek Ayalon. Shemesh be Givon Dom.
So it's a sort of similar kind of thing where you have nature kind of behaving in a different way in order. And is there, I don't remember the language there, is there a same kind of thing about like.
I'm working on it.
She's working on it. Okay. Let's skip to the end. At the end of this parak, okay? Pasu Chavtet. Skip to Yodalad Chavtet. You got it? No, hold it when you got it, okay? Ubnei Yisrael halchu bayabasha betoch hayam v'amayim lehem chuma miminam u'mismolam. The Jewish people walk in the dry land betoch hayam, in the water. The water was a chuma, a wall to the right and to the left. V'yosha Hashem b'yom u'zayam yad mitzayim v'yayisal mitzayim met al sefat hayam. God saved them from the hand of Egypt. This is the pasuk I want to key in on. Vayar Yisrael et hayad hagdola asher asa Hashem b'mitzrayim. They saw the yad hagdola. the great hand that God did in Mitzrayim, Vaya'aminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. One of the more famous psukim that we all know by heart. Right? They saw the hand of God, and they believed in God and in Moshe avdo. I always wonder, this pasuk has bothered me recently. It's a symbol of their great emunah. How do we, what do we normally consider emunah to be?
Blind faith, right. Not based on obvious apparent miracles.
Correct. Right. We say to ourselves, well, if God would come today and tell me what to do, then of course I would know what to do. But then you don't. But then you don't need
no
emuna.
But it's also saying emuna after the action.
Really?
I'm saying this
it's
is.
Easy.
And the people, that's what I'm saying, it's easy. Like, he separated, he killed the Egyptians, I have faith in Hashem. Afterwards. Versus saying,
Did you read the rest of the parsha? The rest of the parsha is a series of complaints, kvetches, trials, and tribulations about their lack of faith.
That's what I'm saying.
They run out of water, they complain. They run out of food, they complain. They run out of water, they complain. It's not just what they complain. It's how they complain. And it gives them the man, and he says, do me a favor, just do one thing. Friday, take double, don't go out on Shabbos. And what do? Go out on Shabbos. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if that had happened, then I would agree with you. But their emunah seems totally based by Yirat Hashem, by Ya'aminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. So they saw and they believed. Emunah. You know, Ne'eman. Did they? Really? Really? I don't know.
You're
I don't
saying
have an answer.
That they believed.
But they did then. I don't know what the answer is. Okay? What does Yad refer to? Let's look at Rashi for a second. Lamed Aleph. Because this Yad HaGdolah is unbelievable. What is Yad? We've seen Yad Moshe. Now it's Yad Hashem. Yimincha Hashem Nedari Bakoach. Your Yamin Hashem. Yamin Hashem Osechayu. What does the Yamin mean? It's a strong hand. What is the Yad? Does God have a hand? Like, we're struck with the philosophical question. What is God's hand? Says Rashi, Et hagvura hagdola sha'asta yado shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The great gvura, the great strength that the hand of God had achieved. V'harbe l'shonot loflot al yashon yad. He said the word yad refers to a lot of different things. V'kulan lashon yad mamash hen. So he says basically, what does Yad mean? Whatever it means in context. So what does the word Yad mean? It's one of those words that means whatever you want it to mean. So what does it mean here? Rashi says, it means here is God's great strength. Which only goes to makes you wonder, why use the word Yad? Why didn't they say, Vaya Yisrael et ha-koach, ha-gvura gdola asher asa Hashem? What are we supposed to imply or infer with the hand of God?
Action.
Oh, I'm supposed to answer that? I
don't
know. Etayad Hagdullah, the hand of Moshe.
That Moshe is Hashem's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Right hand man. No true.
His right hand man. To God's right hand or Moshe's? Moshe is God's right hand man. Right. Hand and not?
Stick.
Like it's personal.
Yes. It's a part and parcel of. It's an essential element of. Right? What is our hand? Our hand is is ourselves. It's me. It's not an external part of me. You know, it achieves what I want. I don't tell my hand to do something separate from me. Yeah.
I was going to teach Am Yisrael the fundamentals of what
Abba Bazar, that they should be placing their faith in the stick, which is not actually the stick. Mm-hmm. And if by taking the stick out of the picture, they're not putting the emunah on the stick, and Abba Bazar, the stick gets lost. Where does the stick get lost? Who lost the stick? Take the stick. Where did I put that stick? You know,
like.
I'm sure his wife knew
where
it was.
But yeah, the suggestions of Israel, not in the stick
in
the miracle.
Great.
Whatever it is, like the miracle
comes. There's only one problem. Skip now to the end of the parsha. Perek Yud Zayin.
What about those two guys jumping in the water first?
Midrash. Nachshon Ben Aminadab. One guy. Okay.
One guy?
Skip to the end of the parsha. One guy. Nachshon. Nachshon, the wife, husband of? Son of.
brother of Elisheva, wife of Aaron.
Right, it's all in the family. Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17. We're just going to read it. Vayisu kol ha'adat b'nei Yisrael mi midbar sin lema'aseihem al pi Hashem. So they're traveling from midbar sin, the sin desert, sin wilderness. Vayachanu b'refidim ve'ein ma'im lishtotam. They're in Refidim. Where is Refidim? Derech Agav. Where Refidim is? Right near Hasinai. They're on the way to Hasinai. Vayar v'ayim Moshe v'yamru tnu lanu ma'im b'nishteh. Give us water. Vayamr lehem Moshe mat teribun imadi mat tenasu net Hashem. Why are you fighting with me? Why are you testing God? Vayitzma sham ha'am l'mayim v'yalan ma'am Moshe. So then they became thirsty. And they complained to Moshe, against Moshe. What do you do? Why do you bring this out of Egypt to kill us?
Why did this one take us out of Mitzrayim?
Yeah, right. Moshe calls out to God, what am I supposed to do with this nation? The whole thing is so fascinating. Obviously, this section is in of itself a shiur, which I don't, by my underline, did I give this shiur? Maybe next year. God said to Moshe, Avor lifnei ha'am, pass before the nation. V'kach itcha mizikne Yisrael. Whoa. Umatcha asher hikita bo et ha'yor, kach biyadcha v'halachta.
It doesn't say matcha asher bakata bo et ha'yam.
Right, he didn't hit the stick which you used to smite the Nile. Bring that back. Okay. I will stand on the tzur, on the rock in Chorev. So you see him there in Fridim. He walked them over to Chorev. Chorev is?
Har Sinai.
The Hikita Batzur. You shall strike the tzur, the rock. Strike the rock with what? Bemateh. Obviously. Rashi, why did you take Umatcha Asher Hikita Bo? Ma Talmud Lomar, I see where I am on Rashi Matcha. Ma Talmud Lomar Asher Hitebo Et Hayor. El Shayu Yisrael Omim Al Hamateh She'enu Muchan El Lepuranut. So they said the stick is only bad.
He says it again later.
Bolaka Paro, you struck with Paro. Mitzrayim Kama Makot, Mitzrayim Al Hayam. Kach Neemar Asher Hitebo Et Hayor. Yiru Atash Af Letovahu Muchan. You see that it's a good stick. It's not only a bad stick. Okay, they took the stick, by the way. I'm not sure this Rashi is for good. Right? Is it a good lesson when you take the stick, you slam it into the thing and it makes water? I'm not sure that's the most, how shall we say, uplifting lesson. Next story. Vayavo Amalek vayichalachim im Yisrael birifidim. You see where I am? Yud Zayin Pasuk Chet. Yud Zayin Chet. Amalek comes and, you know, Midrash says right after this, right? Midrash says right after this. You complain about the water, you complain whatever. You don't like things, let's see how you do on your own. Vayomer Moshe Yeshua b'char lanu anashim v'tzei yilachem ba'amalek. Machar, so go fight with, no, go take men, go pick some people, go fight with Amalek. Tomorrow, anuchi nitzav al rosh ha-giv'ah. I will stand up on the giv'ah, on the hill. Umateh ha-Elohim b'yadi. Behold, I'll be holding the stick. Great. So what should we expect Moshe to do?
To do it.
He should go up. And what should he do? Hold up the stick. V'haya, ka'asher yarim Moshe yado v'gavar Yisrael. V'ka'asher yaniach yado v'gavar Amalek. What happened to the stick? Where was the stick? All of a sudden, we lost the stick. And moreover, the imagery that you all have, what's the imagery that you have of Moshe on the mountain? What do you see in your mind now, Moshe on the mountain? Is he alone?
No.
No, where is he?
He's with Aaron.
He's with Aaron and?
Yoshua.
And what?
And Yoshua.
No, not Yoshua. Yoshua's fighting.
Chor.
Aaron and Chor. What's he doing? Look, what do you see in your mind? What's Moshe doing?
Aaron's holding up his one hand. And
two hands.
Three.
If you have both hands in the air, what don't you have?
Stick.
No stick. Ain't no stick. So you can't argue this time and say, well, he's holding up the stick.
No.
Okay? V'hayak asher yarim Moshe yadov v'gavar Yisrael yadach yadov v'gavar Amalek v'idei Moshe kvedim. And now the hands of Moshe get heavy. V'ikhu evan v'yasimu tachtav v'yashev aleha v'aron v'chur tamchu b'yadav. Aaron and Chur, they're holding up his hands. Mize echad umize echad. Vayihi yadav emuna ad bo hashemesh. Now you can take a highlighter and highlight that phrase like in as many colors as you like. Vayihi yadav emuna ad bo hashemesh. Shira, in your parish, what are you going to say? What am I going to say now when I just highlighted that phrase? Vayihi yadav emuna ad bo hashemesh. Where have we seen this juxtaposition of yadayim and emuna? I'll read it to you. Vaya Yisrael et hayad hagdola asher asa Hashem b'mitzayim, vaya yu Hashem vaya aminu b'Hashem v'Moshe avdo. Just a coincidence? On Yam Suf, they saw the yad and they had emuna. And here, what do you know? At the end of the parsha, v'yidei Moshe emuna, Moshe's hands v'yadav emuna ad bo hashemesh. Somehow, there's a connection between the yad and the emuna. Let's just skip to the very end. V'yachalos Yoshua tamol lefi charev. Yoshua, won the war. V'yom Hashem Moshe k'tov zo b'zikaron b'sefer. V'sim b'aznei Yehoshua. Ki machor emche et zecher Amalek mitachat Hashemayim. I will surely destroy Amalek. V'yiben Moshe mizbech v'yikra shemo Hashem Nisi. Moshe built an altar there and he called the altar like Avraham Avinu used to do. He gave it a name. Hashem Nisi. God is my nes.
My symbol.
My sign. God, Hashem Nisi.
Vayomer.
I'm not sure. Vayomer. Kiyad al kes ya. The last parsha, pasuk in the parsha. Kiyad al kes ya. Milchama la Hashem ba Amalek midor dor. What in the world does that mean? What, Nikki, what does he say? What in the world does that pasuk mean? It's the last pasuk. It's the most important pasuk.
English.
What?
Yeah, in English.
Pasuk Tetzayin, 16.
For the hand is on the throne of God, Hashem maintains a war against Amalek from generation.
For the hand is on the throne of God.
And it's a
swearing thing.
What?
It's a hand.
A small hand. Whose hand? Yeah. Would you have the same thing? What does it say?
The hand upon the throne of the Lord.
What in the world does that mean? What does that mean? Kiyad, okay, as the hand is on the throne of God. Look at Rashi. Vayomer tetzayin Moshe, ki yad al kesiya, yado shel hakadosh baruch hu, hurma lishava bikiso. The hand of God is lifted up to swear by the oath of his throne. Ki yad, the hand of God, is not on the throne, is lifted up to swear by the throne. Again, we see the hand. This time the hand is the symbol of what? What does the yad here mean? What in the world does that mean? The hand of God is lifted in an oath. Now it doesn't mean strength. What does it mean?
Like the word.
It was a shvuah.
The truth, the essence. The, you know what I'm saying?
As sure as I exist.
As sure as I exist. By my hand. By my right hand. As it were.
No, but the concept of a shvuah is that you're saying just as God exists, so too the reality that you commit to will exist.
Correct. Just as God
exists.
But just as God exists, but we don't say just as God exists, what does it say? The hand of God. Ki yad al kesia. God's power. God's strength. So what's fascinating, you can't miss it. The word Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'll take the stick. And in the end, what does God say to Moshe? No, that's not what the stick is for. The stick is not for you. I need your hands. Because you now represent me. My strength resides through you. And obviously you're familiar with the famous Midrash. Moshe's hands are up, they win. Down, they do. Down, they do. Right?
That's what I was referring to, but I mixed up with Yoshua.
Yeah, oh, that's what you meant.
There are no hands in Yoshua.
No, yes.
So
this is what you meant?
I mixed up the stories, but this is
yeah.
What
you
meant. Yeah.
So the very famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Moshe's hands won? Right, Moshe, you know. So it says that when Moshe's hands are up, they look to God. When the hands were down, they didn't look to God.
Physical direction.
When
his hands were up, they were watching his hands. They were looking to see. It's physically, like a physical thing. They were looking up to Shemayim.
Says, I'll read you. V'chi yadav shel Moshe notzchot hayu hamilchama. Do Moshe's hands win? Do Moshe's hands lose? Right, but it says they were subjugating their hearts to Avinu Shebashamayim. No, it was a symbol for them to have faith. That's not the impression that you get. The impression that you get is, no, when Moshe's hands lifted up, there was something. Yes, You don't think so?
No, I think it was natural for them to lose. So therefore, when his arms were up,
yeah,
when they were winning.
And why did they win? Here's my question. Did the hands invoke some sort of, yes, strength, power, essential, something more?
Channel something?
Yes.
You think it did?
How could it not? In the pshat? Don't give me pshat. You have now internalized midrash to make a pshat. The pshat is,
Was it a reflection of
Nesra
of
the Muna? No, that's what the Midrash says. The Midrash says it was Emunah. It was just their faith. The pshat is... Right. Oh, now we believe. And then we put his hands down. Now we don't believe? It doesn't make any sense if his hands are down now. By the way, it only raises a fascinating question. If Moshe Rabbeinu, if they won every time he lifted up his hands, then...
Why didn't he do that in other words?
No. Then, why did he put his hands down?
Because they get heavy.
Like it says, "Va'yakasher yarim Moshe v'gavar Yisrael." V'kasher yado yaniach v'gavar Yisrael. He's like, "Ooh, hey, look, want to see a cool trick?"
Also, I believe in you. You can do this.
Wait, so Moshe, why did he put his hands down?
So that his arms were tired.
Oh, so they won't think it's their strength that they'll realize that.
Because he got tired, really?
You keep your hands up for a while. They get tired.
Are we talking about normal? Excuse me. Are we talking about normal hands?
No.
Right.
The nation will know. Listen, it's not about you, the fighting.
And it's about?
It's about your emunah.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I don't know that Moshe lowered his hands. Maybe Pasuk Yud Aleph is describing the reality that would happen had he lowered his hands.
Okay.
But I think that he kept his hands all the way up.
I'm not sure. I think it might be more about the merging of the hand, like the Midrash said, of the hand of Moshe and the hand of God. Much of Parshat Bishalach is about the unwillingness of the people to see Moshe as something that's connected to God. Meaning, you can read it one of two ways. They believed in God, uve Moshe avdo. Or you can say, vayaminu b'Hashem uve Moshe avdo. They believe that God and Moshe avdo
are
part and parcel, one and together. And as we see, the whole parts we skipped are, what have you done to us? Lama zeh, why have you pulled this apart? And only later it says, V'yidei Moshe, what do we say? What's the words? V'yehi yadav emuna. Like, after Amalek, it was yadav emuna. And why is this so critical? Why do we have to get rid of the stick? And why does it have to be Moshe's hands? Why does Moshe have to be the hand of God? Because we're about to receive the Torah. And if you think for a moment, if you have even one doubt, one shred of doubt, that there's any distinction, even a millimeter between Moshe and God, then the code that he gives you, you always wonder. Maybe that was just his thing. You have to unite the two together. They have to be one and the same. The emunah must be emunah, no more sticks, no more staffs. Now it's just you. You have to split the sea. You have to win. It might not, the story of Amalek might not be necessarily about Amalek. It might be much more about Moshe on the Giv'ah. By the way, what hill is he standing on?
Back in Rephidim.
We said
Chorev.
No.
How far is Rephidim from Chorev?
I don't know,
but it would have said Chorev if it was
Chorev. It said Rephidim, Chorev, and then Rephidim again.
And we're back in Rephidim.
How many Givaot are
there?
Close. I don't know.
Probably a bunch.
You think so?
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. And Moshe calls the miracle, what does he call the Mizbeach? Hashem Nisi.
Which is like Sinai, same letters.
Nice. Interesting, nice. It's just a fascinating discussion when we talk about the, you know, what?
I said around the band maybe it's totally different interpretation of the hand.
Of the hand.
So, yeah, the Ramban says here, according to Oxford, the meaning of the head refers to Jewish kings, and as long as the Jewish head is on the royal throne, as in...
Right, they say it refers to in the future, to Shaul and Shmuel.
Yes.
Right.
Their duty is to fight
Amalek. Right. I like, you know, when you see this idea, like when you start underlining the word Yad in the Chumash, and you see it, and it's like, you know what I'm saying, it just calls out at you. You notice it and it says, so what's the Yad doing here? And the Yad before, and the Yad now. Okay? And we talk about Yimin HaShem, Yad HaShem. He's your right-hand man. When you talk about a right-hand man, what do we mean when we say that? It means he's an extension of me. Right. I have total trust in him to carry out my wishes and my orders. Right. That is the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's the Moshe Rabbeinu that's about to give the Bnei Yisrael the Torah. Stop here.